Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerhan, and I'm with Storytelling with a Heart. And I'm president, CEO, founder of S3 Productions, and I happen to be on my second channel today because I want to tell a story. And I felt it was more appropriate to do it on this channel than on S3 Productions. Anyway, I was looking at my calendar today, and I realized there's two very important dates that I missed. One is September 14th, and the other one is September 15th. Why are those dates important? Because September 14th, 1973, I joined the Navy. Actually, I take that back. I reported the boot camp in San Diego, September 14th, 1973. And for a high school kid to go from high school in June to boot camp, with all that boot camp entails, yelling and the screaming and the running and all the other stuff, quite a shock. Now, you got to remember, I'm old. I'm 58 years old, so I'm going back into history, but that's okay. Second day that's very important to me is September 15th. And for all the Navy guys out there, September 15th is a very important day because that's the day they pin the anchors onto the new chief petty officers. You're all wondering, why am I telling you this? Well, I'm telling a story. I joined the Navy in 1973. I got out of boot camp. I went to A school, OSA school, Great Lakes, Illinois. From there, I went to San Diego. Got on board the USS Chicago. We sailed off to the Briny Blue, Westpac, 1974. We spent 8 glorious months out there doing all sorts of stuff. And somewhere, I don't remember the year. I remember it was 1974. I can't tell you the day, though, because I don't remember. But we were going from the Gulf Fade, where we spent 30 days chasing Russians, down to Mombasa, Kenya. And in that process, we crossed the equator. Now, you got to remember, I'm not even 19 years old yet. And they made a big deal. We get to cross the equator, go see King Neptune. We get to do almost 200 years plus fishing. You get to be go from a polywog to a shell back. And God, this was just the coolest thing on since sliced bread. Now, for those who've been there, again, I'm going back way back in time, 40-some years now, 1974. We went across the equator, and we had all this activity going up to it, and we had to get dressed up in costumes, and oh, my goodness gracious, we had to do all sorts of weird things. You know, go through the garbage chute and get dunked in the saltwater tanks and shillelaghs, and oh, my goodness gracious, it was just a great time. It was a wonderful time. It was a blast, I tell you the truth. I never had so much fun in my entire life to go through an initiation. I'm sorry, shell back in it. Let's call it what is initiation. 200-plus years of tradition, probably going back to the days they first crossed the ocean blues, even longer than that. Every Navy in the world does this. We're out in the middle of nowhere, middle of the Indian Ocean. By the time we got done, our uniforms, our costumes were completely thrashed. Remember, this is a 1,000-man crew, 1,000-man crew. This is back before women got on ships. And so we just, you know, stripped off everything. Butt naked and stripped everything off, threw everything over the side because it was beyond saving, hiked on down to the birthing compartments, went through several bottles of soap and shampoo to get all that crap and crud off us. By God, we were shellbacks. I got this big, huge certificate on my wall right now at home. It's a proud day of my life. Fast forward a few decades, and my son went through the shellback ceremony on the USS John Stennis on an Indian Ocean cruise. And basically, they hiked up to the flight deck of the Stennis, walked, not crawled, on all fours, walked down to the flight deck, got dunked in a tank of salt water, and somebody said, King Neptune said, aye, hoppa, dabba, 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 you're now a shellback. Whoopee. I remember PBS came out with a TV miniseries called Carrier. And they did 6 months on the George Washington, I believe. And I watched that series while my son was overseas on the Stennis. Same thing. Cross the equator, dunk him in a tank of water, and say, you're now shellback, and whoopee. And I asked myself this question. Why have things changed so much? Why have things changed so much? Well, I realized that in my 28 years in the Navy from 1973, I retired in 2001. that something fundamentally changed. I really don't know if I can define it or not, but suddenly we become warm and friendly, touchy-feely. We were so afraid of offending anybody and hurting people's feelings that something changed. I look back, not that I'm that old, but 200 years of tradition, 200 plus years of tradition, being reduced down to, here you go. We don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. Heaven forbid that we insult somebody. And I ask myself, why is this changing? And I really don't have an answer, but nobody died on my ship. Nobody ever died that I know of. The Master Arms Force, the police force on the ship, was the first time I'd ever seen them carry nightsticks. Things got maybe a little crazy, but everything came down back underway. You know, maybe somebody's mattress got wet. Well, nothing. You couldn't take up to the main deck and air it out, so dry out. But nobody got hurt. Had a lot of fun. September 15th, 1985 was the day I made Chief Petty Officer. Now, I'll never forget this. I was on board the USS Duncan. I was a reservist, and they said, you can't go through the initiation because it's not drill weekend. I said, I'll be there. You tell me when and where, and I'll be there. I took 3 days off of work, went down to the ship the day before. I did all the initiation. I went through all the rituals, and I went through that proudest day of my life. My wife came down. They pinned the anchors on me, and God, I was in tears. Proudest thing of my day. Pinned the anchors on. Now, I won't go into all the details, but basically, there's a called initiation, if you will. Nobody got hurt. Yeah, I had to do a lot of weird and crazy things. But the point is, nobody got hurt. And then I realized the meeting, and they explained the meeting. And nobody ever talks about this. They talk about, oh, it's so bad, you're making fun of people. Oh, it's so bad, you're degrading. Oh, it is so bad, wah, wah, wah. And I asked myself a question. Anybody ever read the Chief's Creed? If you're a civilian, you really don't understand what I'm talking about, but the whole purpose of that was like boot camp, to tear you down, rebuild you in the image of what a chief petty officer was. And boot camp, I don't care which branch of service you go to, boot camp, the whole function of boot camp is to tear you down and rebuild you as a sailor, a Marine, a soldier. The whole purpose of the chief's initiation was to teach you that you got to have the ability to stand up for what's morally right. Now, I'm not saying the system is perfect. I am not claiming the system is perfect. I read somewhere just recently they had a whole bunch of chief selectees. You know, I think it was Hawaii that were run to the point of exhaustion. A whole bunch of had to go to the hospital. That's wrong. That is flat out wrong. But what the chief's initiation told me and taught me was, you have to do what's right. You have to stand up for your people. You have to have a backbone. And there's been many times since that initiation where I went toe-to-toe with a senior commander, captains, O6s, and I stood up for what I believed was right, toe-to-toe, face-to-face, nose-to-nose. You win a few, you lose a few. But I can honestly say in respect, I stood up for what I thought was right. I went one commander, he and I got into an argument privately, and I told him he was wrong, subject. And he says, I will do what you tell me to do, but I think you're making a huge mistake. And once he thought about it, and after we yelled and screamed at each other, he came back to me and said, okay, you're right. I wouldn't do this publicly. But ladies and gentlemen, I have to ask myself the question, why are we so afraid of hurting people's feelings? The Navy is like the rest of the branches of service. The United States Armed Forces. The job of the United States Armed Forces is to go into harm's way, to defend our country, to do what we are told to do. And I have to believe, and I'm going way out of limb here, but I do believe this. When the bad guys are shooting at you, are we going to worry about, oh my God, stress, oh, that is so horrible. Which is another issue, and I'll cover that in just a minute. You know, I really have a hard time believing that the Taliban really care about our thoughts and feelings. I have a hard time believing that Al-Qaeda has any kind of degree of sanctity of human life. Yet we're so afraid of offending anybody or hurting somebody's feelings that we're scared to walk in our own shadows. Now, I'm not here. I'm telling a story. I'm offering some commentary. Made chief in 1985, proudest moment of my life. Proudest moment. I read the Facebook pages right now. I have the privilege of, from 1985 to when I retired in 2001, of being the sponsor of about six or seven selectees who made chief. And my job was to protect my selectee. My job was to explain why he was going through this, to make sure he had what he needed, and basically to protect him, to make sure things didn't get out of hand. And the only case I can remember off the top of my head was there was like five or six my frigates. We were up in Washington, I believe. I don't remember the year. And we all went on board one ship, Wadsworth, I believe it was, to celebrate the night before initiation. And I will admit, there was alcohol involved. But when things got crazy, and just beyond belief, I took my selectee home. I said, we went back to ship. And our master chief, our E9, went over and had a chat with their master chief. Now, my details may be wrong. I don't know what happened, but we refused to take part of their ceremony because of that issue. I've only seen one selectee ever get hurt, and there was a corpsman right there who took care of him. And it took four of us to restrain his sponsor from going after the guy who hurt him. Things do get out of hand. I will admit to that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not this federal emergency case. And I ask myself, where are we to go wrong? Where have we gotten to the point where our middle management of the Navy, the chief petty officers of the Navy, where have we lost our backbone? To all the chiefs in the Navy right now, all the present chiefs and the future chiefs, gentlemen, ladies, you're doing a wonderful job. I'm not making fun of you or anybody else. Please believe me, I am not making fun of you, chiefs or future chiefs. But I have a question. Why, when I went through the chief station in 1985, all of a sudden that is horrible. All those chiefs who came before me managed to survive. And all the chiefs up until whenever things went bad survived. But where did we lose our way? When did we, as a military, lose our way? We are so afraid now of stepping on people's toes or looking bad or being politically correct, I think we've lost something. I could be wrong. Ladies, I retired in 2001. I'm an old man. I'm 60 years old. Okay? But when I read things that I see, especially when I hear civilians talk, oh, it is so bad, so bad, so bad. I can remember... oh, this would have been 10 years ago. Our Boy Scout troop, California Highway Patrol, sent a guy down to talk about being a police officer to our Boy Scout troop. And he was talking about the police academy, or the CHP academy up in Sacramento, showing us video clips. And the DIs up there were yelling and screaming at the prospective CHP officers. And one of the mothers came out and said, oh, that is so bad. They're yelling at these poor guys. They're yelling the bad names at them. They're making do exercises. Oh, that is so bad. How dare you show that to the Boy Scouts? And the guy from the CHP responded, ma'am, the public's never happy to see us. Do you think our CHP officers right now are welcome people who are meeting with the best of society? No. We have to prepare them for the worst of society so they can do their job. And I go back to the example of using the chief's initiation, or even the cross and equator ceremonies. Are we not helping to toughen people up, to make them feel proud that they accomplished something? Or are we going to just resort back to an entitlement? Here, gimme, 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 gimme. I teach a shop class at my high school, shop class. And it's amazing how many students will just sit there and go, gimme, gimme, gimme. I know the answer is wrong. Why can't I pass anyway? Why should I do the work? I just gave them a fifth grade math test just to see how well they would do, just to see if they could solve a problem. And they'll sit there and stare at you. They won't ask for help. They'll just sit there and stare at you, waiting for the answers. Now, that's a far-fetched attitude from going across the equator or making chief petty officer. But, you know, I ask myself this question. If we're going to have an entitlement society, and you have the givers and the givees, who's giving? the former Givies, the Getters. I can remember being a chief petty officer and having to stand up for what I believed in. I can remember being told by senior officers to do what was wrong and having to do it because that was a direct order. But I had the guts to say that was wrong. But I also recall the senior officers not having to go through initiation and being taught to stand up for what was right. I'm not bad about being senior officers. Some of my closest, you know, friends were senior officers. But I do think we somehow lacking the moral backbone. What's wrong? Where did we lose it? I can remember going through a firefighting school in boot camp. You know, put a bunch of raw recruits right out of high school in a room full of diesel fuel fire with nothing but a fire hose and a raincoat to put that fire up. Ladies and gentlemen, that's fear. And having a chief screaming at you, get in there and do it. You don't have time to be scared. You're too more afraid of the chief screaming at you. And we went and did it. Now all of a sudden you have this stress. Oh my God, he's yelling at me. Stress, stress, stress. Somewhere in the 90s, the Navy went to stress cards. I thank God they're gone. Where you had to explain any evolution that might be dangerous. And a kid could whip out a blue stress card, a red stress card, or whatever stress card, and go, I need a timeout. I have to have a training timeout. Oh my gosh, I got fear. Oh my God, I got fear. And you had to stop the evolution to calm this young man or young lady's fears. And I think to myself, the ship's on fire. It's in danger to sink. And stress. Oh my God, I got stressed. The missile's inbound. The missile's inbound. We're going to take a hit. And running up the main deck, pulling out a stress card and going, stress, stress, we got to stop. Stress, stress, stress. You go back, imagine the Navy SEALs. Can you imagine the Navy SEALs not having a tough program? Can you imagine the Navy SEALs not having to do the things they have to do because it's too hard and too dangerous? Marine boot camp, same idea. Can you imagine the same things? You can't yell at them because if you yell at them, you might hurt their feelings. And then being called to go into battle against somebody who's going to blow your head off who doesn't care about your feelings? Something's wrong. I don't know what. Something is wrong, but somewhere we've lost our way. There's always going to be excesses, always going to be problems. Always. But you know, that's the nature of the military. Police boot camp, police academy, fire academy, high stress, high danger environment. You have to teach people how to deal with that. How do you teach people how to deal with stress? You pump lots and lots of stress on them to see what they're going to do. And the more you practice that, the better you are. The more you practice, the tougher you are. The more you practice, the more becomes instinct. But if you got to think about it, something's bad's going to happen. I remember we were at Long Beach Naval Station, back when there was a Long Beach Naval Station. We were going to do a flooding exercise, and they had this room that was all designed with all these busted pipes and stuff, and they'd flood it, and then you'd have to fix all the plumbing. And the water in this room never got more than maybe knee-deep. Even at the deepest end, it may got mid-thigh deep, so it only got 2 or 3 feet. You know, we spent 45 minutes having a stress lecture about if you feel scared, to take a time out, and we'll go through the safety program. Safety program? My goodness. Stand up. Stand up. Oh, we can't do that. We've got to be safe. Got to be afraid. And I ask myself, where have we lost our way? Where have we lost our way? I don't know the answer. All I can tell you is this. I retired in 2001. And I thank goodness I did. Thank goodness we did. Tell you a quick story. My son went through boot camp 2003, which is almost 30 years the date after I went through it. He went through boot camp in Great Lakes. I asked him, what did you think of boot camp? He goes, that was easy. I told you, all you had to do is keep your mouth shut and do as you're told. He said, Dad, I couldn't believe it. We went through the chow line, and one day they stopped the entire chow line, stopped everything, because somebody complained they were out of French toast. What? I said, yeah, Dad, they shut down the entire chow line because somebody complained we were out of French toast. So they just stopped the entire chow line to make French toast. Jeez, I remember when I went through boot camp or even any mess line, especially on board a ship. If you ran out of French toast, you might have gotten bologna sandwiches. You might have got leftover spaghetti. You could have meatloaf. You got whatever was there. You didn't like it, that was too bad. But to stop, I mean, it's just somewhere I do believe we've lost something. To those out there in the Navy who might listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, I am proud of you. The Navy that I served for 28 years, you're doing a wonderful job. I'm not making fun of anybody out there. But ask yourself this question. Your job is to go into harm's way to do what is right for the country. Sorry about that. That's the brutal reality of life. Who do you want leading you? The guy with the moral trepidation to stand up and say, let's go, this is right. The guy or the young lady who's going to stand up and say, I am your chief, my job is to lead you. Or the one who is more concerned about his political backside than your life. I will also tell everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I was not a perfect person. I made my mistakes along the line. I will admit to that. We all do. And I can remember as a chief or even a senior chief making mistakes and going to the chief's mess and my fellow chiefs pulling me aside and said, you really screwed that one up. Yeah, I did. Okay. That's life. Life is not perfect. I look at high school kids right now who thoroughly and truly believe, because they're beating into their brains for 12 years, life is fair. Life is good. Everybody loves me. Everybody will treat me with respect if I treat them with respect. Everything is just peachy keen. And they have no clue out there that it's a cold, cold, cruel world out there. Aldous Huxley once said, I sleep secure at night knowing there's people of rough dispute who will handle life troubles for me. Ladies, you know, if you lose some of those rough people, who's going to handle the trouble of life? When the Taliban decides to attack or the Al-Qaeda terrorists decide to attack, do they really care about you and your innermost thoughts and feelings? You know, we go out and launch an attack on somebody. I know this during the Gulf War. We go out and launch a surprise attack on somebody, and we're the only nation that would announce in advance where we're going, and Peter Jennings would be on the airplane with the paratroopers, and you know, Ted Kopp will be on the ground watching the attack, and they'd wonder why we screw things up. Where have we lost our way? We go out and launch strikes. We wanted to talk about going and launching strikes into Syria. So what do? We tell them where we're going to hit. Well, that makes sense. We're going to go bomb a bunch of empty buildings. Where have we lost our way? If we're so afraid of hurting the bad guys, why don't we just roll over and quit? Our job is to hurt the bad guys. Sorry about that. That's the job of the United States Armed Forces. September 16th, 15th, the day they pin the anchors on those young men and women who become chief petty officers, to them, I salute you, but I also caution you. I said this in my retirement ceremony. Don't ever be afraid. But by the same token, if you don't have the backbone, and you're just going to give your people everything they want because it's the politically correct thing to do, you're doing them a disservice. Be that young man or woman who stands up, puts that hat on with that backbone, and become the person that's going to save this Navy. Do what is right. Don't be afraid to stand up for what is right. Don't cow down to people who are telling you to be nice and polite and cool and calm, and they have no idea what they're talking about. Your job is to follow the UCMJ to the best of your abilities. For that, I congratulate you, but there are times where it's not a perfect world and you need to do what is right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my story. I appreciate you listening. Again, I'm not here to make judgment. I'm not here to downplay anybody, but think about this, and I leave you with this. Where have we lost our way? Where all of a sudden is 200 plus years of tradition? Yeah, there's been mistakes along the way, but where along the line has 200 plus years of tradition gone down the toilet? Maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm old-fashioned. Maybe this is the new way. All I can tell you is I'm glad I'm retired. I'm glad I'm retired. Anyway, with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much. This is Kurt Hahn on Storytelling with a Heart, my heart. And until the Constitution has changed, I still have an opinion. And with that, thank you so very much. And all I can say is this politically correct world, has things really gotten better? Has things really gotten better in this politically correct world? Don't know. I leave that for you, my audience, to ponder. And with that, thank you very much, and I appreciate your time and effort. If you have any questions, you can reach me through email at oscssw.verizon.net or through Facebook. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Have a wonderful day, and give me a chance to rant and rave. Thank you. Bye.